Morning. My name is Terrence Calvin. Some of you know, some of you don't know. And I know a name like that. You can't tell I'm Navajo Indian. Amen. Full-blooded Navajo Indian. People, our dentist, one time he's asking me that. He said, Calvin, he was working on my teeth. And he said, are you any relation to John Calvin? I said, no, not physically or doctrinally. Neither one. Amen. And then I was kind of worried because I don't know where he stood on that. And he's working on my teeth, you know. You wanted to get Bible questions. I said, we'll do that after you're done. Amen. Go ahead and, you know, I'll answer your questions after you're done. Amen. You know, y'all is pretty warm down here, man. We've been having some nice weather there at the house where we live up in Birmingham, and it's been nice. And down here, man, it's been really hot. They got that, what they call that, real fuel or something like that. Like, amen. You know, it kind of reminds me of that man that came up with that. You know, he passed away the other day. And, you know, when he passed away, he was on his deathbed. They asked him, man, he's 94 years old. They said, man, what's going on? How's it feel? He said, I'm 94, but I feel like 110. Amen. And sometimes that's how we feel like that. Amen. All right. Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians chapter 3. Never been to Guam, but I do know some people from Guam. Amen. They are members of a church out west in Arizona. And I don't know what they all call them there, but my dad and I, we ended up having a good relationship with them. We used to call them Guamis. That's what they were, you know. And the last name was Borja. I don't know if that sounds familiar. B-O-R-J-A, I believe it was Borja. There are some good people there. All right, Philippians chapter number 3. And let's read a few verses here, and then we'll kind of get to the preaching tonight. You know, people always talk about preachers being long-winded. A lot of us get it from Apostle Paul here. You notice how he starts off chapter number 3. Finally, my brethren. Amen. Then he goes 2 whole chapters more. Amen. That's why a lot of preachers do that. They'll say, finally. And then they go on and on. Don't ever believe the preacher when he's telling you that. Amen. Just kidding here. All right, let's read here. No foolishness here. Bible says here in verse 1. Now we'll read down here to verse number 14 now. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me, is indeed not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised, yea, they had the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's what we're going to preach out of this passage here. But my text, the part of the verse there, is found there in verse number 10 there. That I may know him. That I may know him. That's what I want to preach on tonight. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Lord in heaven, I want to thank you for this opportunity, Lord. And I pray for your blessing tonight on the message. Lord, I believe it's what you've laid on my heart. And now, God, I pray you'd help me to preach it in the way you want it to be preached tonight. I pray, Lord, for a little while, Lord God, may we shut out every care, worry, and distraction of this world. And may we, Lord God, give our heart, mind, attention to you. May your precious Holy Spirit fill us. And everyone that, Lord, lets you, Lord God, fill them. And, Lord God, may your words, Lord God, go forth and may not return to you void, but may accomplish that which you please tonight. Lord, I love you. And I'm grateful for this opportunity, Lord God. Bless the pastor and his family and these people that have come out here tonight, Lord. Put something in their heart and mind that will stick with them that they can not only chew and meditate upon, but, Lord God, that will help them draw closer to you. Lord, I love you, and I thank you for all your goodness, kindness, and mercy. Pray these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen, amen, amen. You know, that phrase there says, that I may know him. You know, I believe that right there is more than just a knowing about God. You know, I believe that a lot of people can say that they know about God. They know something about God. You know, we live in a country today that's Christian in name, and a lot of people out there can say they know something about God. A lot of people during Easter, during Christmas, these holidays, they can tell you, man, as well, it's time of Jesus' birth, or that's time, man, that there's a resurrection. They'll tell you stuff like that because of the influence of our country and being Christian. They know about God, but they don't really know him. I think a lot of folks today, not only out in our society, but also today, a lot of people in our churches, more and more, many of them are the same way. They just know about God, but they don't know him. They know of him, but they don't know him. And I want to preach you now on that thought, man, that I may know him. I believe that ought to be the desire of every believer here tonight, to know him. I mean, if you don't know who he is, man, maybe tonight we can help get you to know him, the Lord, a little bit better tonight. Amen. I look at that verse there in Matthew chapter 7 there. That Bible says, the Lord says this there. He said, I'll say to them in that day, he says, depart from me, for I never knew you. And all them people will say this, Lord, have we not in thy name cast out devils? In thy name we've done this, we've done that. But Lord, I'll say, I never knew you. It's not that God was not aware of their name or anything or who they are. The fact was, there was no close relation there. There was no, I know who God is. I know who he is. Man, I can take you, man, to introduce you to him the same way. Amen. And that's what I want to preach to you on tonight, that I may know him. And I hopefully by the end of this message here, man, if you know who the Lord is, man, you draw closer. And if you don't know the Lord, man, I hope tonight, man, we can introduce you to him. Amen. Amen. So number one tonight, if you want to get to know the Lord, I believe there's got to be some point in your life, there's got to be an introduction got to be made. Do you have an introduction point? The character here that's written here, Paul, you go to the back book of Acts, chapter number 9. You read there, and you read also, man, in the later places, the book of Acts, where he gives his testimony. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he says this there. He said, I was one born out of due time. I mean, Apostle Paul got saved by meeting the Lord on the road to Damascus. And there, man, there was an introduction made to him between him and the Lord Jesus. He said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. I mean, there was an introduction where him and the Lord got to know each other. Apostle Paul, man, according to our Bible, he was alive during the time of the Lord Jesus. There was probably some time he may have saw even who Jesus was, where he lived, what he did. But you know what? He didn't know him. Now that day there on the, man, the Damascus Road, when he met him face to face and was introduced to him. And from that day forward, man, his life changed totally for the different. I want to say this to you tonight, man, if you want to know the Lord, the first thing, there got to be some introduction made. If we was to go around the room tonight and just point at people and say, just tell me, you don't have to tell me any time or anything, just tell me a place where you were introduced to the Lord. Would you do it? Could you tell us? See, there are a lot of folks today, man, ask them, man, just tell me how you got saved. I'm just kind of curious. And then they'll say, well, you know, my family, we've gone to church my whole life, and we've always been a member of that church. And then you're listening patiently, and then they're just like, and that's how I'm here. And you're like, well, was there ever a point you trusted the Lord your Savior? Is there a point you came to the Lord and got born again? Well, you know, I've always been part of this. I've always believed in God. That's a lot of the answers you get nowadays, especially where I live in the South. There are a lot of people can just, man, their grandparents, their family have been part of a church. Man, they've been part of a lot of things for their whole life. And a lot of young people, they grew up in and around church their whole life. And they know all about it. But there was never a point in their life they could point to and say, right there is where I was introduced to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I hope tonight you have a place like that. I hope there's somewhere you can point to and say, you know what? I know there was a place there where I passed from death unto life. Man, where I passed, man, from not knowing God, but now knowing Him as my personal Savior. You know, a lot of these people out there on the social media and out there in the world, you know, sports heroes and people out there, they always talk about how these people, they say, man, look at how he knows God. And then you listen to clips or you listen to a whole conversation, interview, and it's like you're kind of like, oh man, I would like to believe that person is a Christian because they got a big name. They could probably be a good influence for God. But they're just kind of like, well, there was just I had this feeling one day, and you don't even know. It's not even definite. Did you meet the Lord? Do you know the Lord is your personal? Can you say right now, the Lord Jesus Christ is my personal Savior? The only way you can say it is because there's some point there was a personal introduction. Maybe somebody showed you from the Bible how to be saved. A lot of time when I ask people, I say, hey man, do you know the Lord is your Savior? And then they'll tell me something there and I'll listen patiently, listen. And when they're done, then I said, that's good. Can I show you what the Bible says about salvation? And they're like, well, sure. Then just go right through it with them. And then they come at like, you know, I ain't never done that. I said, you want to do that now? They're like, yeah, I'll do that. And man, I always show them that right there, man, right then and there. And then they can always go back to say, hey, I know when I got saved. They ought to have some point and some place in your life. See, Christianity is not like, you don't get born again through osmosis. Some of you know what osmosis is. See, a lot of young people, man, you're like, oh, we got to learn about this now. You know, they talk about cells being divided one another. They get close enough together and then they just kind of ooze into it. I've been raised in church. And now, you know, my parents, they do all this. And I just one day, here I am. No. You see, I have a burden for a lot of young people, man, that grow up in church. Because I myself grew up in church. My dad was the first one to get saved. He got saved in 1983, February 11, 1983. Started taking us to church. And man, after he got saved, then I got saved later that year. And I'm not saved today because my dad got saved. I'm saved because, man, he took us to church. I heard for myself that I need to be saved, and I got saved. Amen. Amen. I'm not saved because my dad's a missionary or a preacher. I'm not saved because we've done some good things. I pastored a church. I preach and travel. None of that. I'm saved because one day I had an introduction to the Lord Jesus Christ. I know who He is. I know I met the Lord. It wasn't a dream I had. Amen. That's a lot of things people dwell upon nowadays. Dreams and feelings and experiences. And they say, oh, I had this thing came over me. And I'm like, okay, what happened? You know, and I'm not trying to, I know some don't know the Bible, but I mean, you're kind of like, what was that? Well, it just, was there, you're just kind of hoping, man, like somewhere, man, I want to believe him, but man, it's hard to when they just talk about a feeling and I'm all right now. You know, and then you try to show them what the Bible says and try to, man, and give them what the Bible says. And then they're like, well, no, I don't really need that. There's no desire for Bible, no desire for church. You kind of wonder. Right. Amen. I kind of wonder about a lot of people today in churches and traveling the country, man. It just seemed like a lot of young people today, they just always kind of like, I don't know. I try to encourage you young people, God does not dwell upon doubt. He said, these things are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know. He wrote you a Bible so you could know for sure you're saved. You could know for sure your purpose in life. You could know for sure what is truth, what is right, what is good, what is evil. God wrote you a book that ye may know. To sit there and doubt and wonder, it's kind of like, oh, I don't know. I encourage you not, don't stay there tonight. If you're sitting there in doubt and you don't know the Lord, you're kind of hoping that you do. Or if you're one of those individuals tonight that thinks that, you know, one of these days, man, they're going to weigh the good and the bad. Do you really want good and bad to be outweighed? Just take this past week. Just take a checklist of this past week of your life. And this past week of your life, take all your thoughts, all your words, all your actions, the things you were involved in this week, and just kind of weigh out 1 week and see how it looks. I mean, that's just 1 week of your life. Think about, man, your whole life now. Especially how many times have you gone to church? If you're trusting good to outweigh the bad, how many times have you been in church? How much services have you attended? How many times have you read the Bible completely through? I mean, if it was based on works, have you done any of those things? I'm glad it ain't based on works. Because if it was, man, I'll tell you what, I'll be pretty far behind. That I may know him. How do you get to know him? At some point you got to be introduced to him. Maybe someone, a neighbor, introduced you to him. Maybe at a church service here, a preacher preached. You came down an altar after the invitation. Man, the Lord, man, you got saved there. Maybe it was door knocking. Someone came by your house, knocked on the door. Or maybe he's driving down the road listening to a message, man, on the radio, and you heard the gospel preach and you got saved. Maybe someone gave you a track. I like how there's a story my wife tells there about a lady that was giving her a testimony. She said she was down in Daytona during a bike rally. And that lady, man, she's that living that lifestyle. And there she was just sitting on the street. And she said she had her head down, just bowed down like that. And she was just bothered and burdened. And she just living a life without God. All of a sudden somebody just walked by. And somebody walked by and gave her a gospel tract. She said she never looked up. She just saw a piece of paper. She said she remembers seeing some feet, flip-flops, and, man, a denim skirt. That's all she saw. And remember that piece of paper, she got it, and she just sat there, and that person went on, she just kind of started looking at it. And the more she looked at it, the more conviction began to work on her heart, the more God began to deal with her. And it wasn't very long after that, she got born again. Amen. And she realized, man, I need to be saved. And then she read the verse in the Bible, Romans 10, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel. And I tell you what, she said, those were the best feet. I don't know who it belonged to, but man, they were the most beautiful feet in my life because they gave me the gospel, and that's how I got saved that day. Maybe that's your story. I don't know what your story would be, but at some point, there's got to be introduction. Me, growing up in church, my wife always asked me, she said, was there more conviction on you? I said, yeah, conviction, but also a little bit of fear. My Sunday school teacher was teaching on the three Hebrew boys getting thrown in the fire with flannel graph. Y'all know some of you know flannel graph? Some of you, I'm dating myself right there, man. I'm old, amen. But that flannel graph, that stuff you stick up there, kind of like, man, hook and loop or what they call Velcro, similar to that. That flannel graph, in my mind, the Apostle Paul's about that big, amen. He wears a red robe because that's just what's in my mind. But they put that flannel graph up there and them three Hebrew boys, and she talked about how that the men, they were safe in the fire because of the Son of God. And at the end of that thing, she said, the only person going to keep you from going to hell is Jesus, the Son of God. Man, I was thinking, oh my. I remember going to the morning worship hour. The morning worship hour, the preacher was preaching that morning on that verse there, man, two shall be in the field, one shall be taken, the other left. And I mean, he got to preaching in a big way. And he said, man, some of you going to still be here. He said, man, your family will be taken. He said, you'll be here. Your mom will be gone. You'll be here. Your wife will be gone. You'll be here. Your dad will be gone. And I mean, he was going out. And I'm sitting there thinking, oh, man, my mom and dad started coming to church. And, oh, man, I think they're going to be gone. I don't know if I'm going to be gone. Man, oh, man, I don't know what's going to happen to me. I don't know if I'm going to hell. Then I remember, man, the invitation. I just remember coming down and saying, I need to be saved. I remember getting saved as a kid. Because I didn't want to be left behind and I didn't want to go to hell. Amen. People today, man, I tell you what, man, today, at one point there got to be an introduction made to you. Some point somebody told you how to be saved, or somewhere something was given, the gospel was given to you. The first thing of getting to know him, there's got to be an introduction. Number two, man, you want to get to know him. Well, I need some help here. Any of you got a Scofield Bible? Amen. All right, brother. If you would look there in Acts chapter 9 real quick. Acts chapter 9. And Acts chapter number 9, at the top of the middle column there, you got a dates set there. Acts chapter 9 is where the Apostle Paul got saved. And so there's a date there. What's the date? 34 A.D. So that's like roughly a year after the Lord was crucified, 34 A.D. Apostle Paul got saved right around 34 A.D. You say, why is that important? Now look at Philippians chapter number, right there in the introduction to the book of Philippians. In the introduction book of Philippians, you got a Scofield Bible, he gives you a date there. What he says, the book was written roughly about the time of what? 64 A.D. 64 A.D. Now, I don't give you much for those being inspired, but they're pretty close. The man that wrote them, came up with those, you know, Archbishop Usher, he wrote a real good chronology of the Bible. So if any of you ever, though any of you are brains, you like to read that stuff like Larkin writes, that's a pretty good book to read there. There's actually a good one now, and it's more recent, Brother Floyd Nolan Jones wrote, and the chronology of the Bible. That's a real good one. And he takes all the verses of the Bible, adds the years and all that. Man, I tell you what, lays it out real good. What a blessing that is. But that's for another time and place. But you notice there, the dates. 34 A.D., roughly about time Paul got saved. 64 A.D., Philippians has been written. In my mind, that's 30 years. Right? Amen. Now help me out my math now. Amen. That means... Some of you homeschoolers, amen, help me out here now. 30 years have passed. You say, why is that a big deal? Verse 10 again. That I may know him. 30 years have passed. Those of you that have been saved for a man for 10 or more years, 20 or more, 30 or more, you know what tends to happen the longer you're saved? You kind of get to a point there where you just kind of, I don't know what that was, but anyway. You kind of get to a point there, man, where you just kind of like kick back and say, you know what? I'm all right. I'm good now. You tend to coast. I mean, it's kind of like the tortoise and the hare. You get so far ahead, then you're like, man, I'm good. I'm not what I used to be. I'm not like them folks over there. I've been saved this many years. I'm good. This man that wrote this, you know what, after being saved for 30 years, still had a zeal, still had a desire, and still, man, wanted and said, you know what, I still want to know him. So that tells me it's not just salvation, it's also more than that. If you want to get to know the Lord, there's got to be an introduction, but also, second of all, there's got to be interest. You want to get to know the Lord? Are you interested in getting to know him? Do you want to get to know him? Or are you, well, I'm good. I believe this. You got all you want of God and Christianity that you want to have right now. The old saying was this. You are as close to God as you want to be. Amen. Why is that? It's not God. God's not up there looking down and said, oh man, you just... Man, you're just too serious about church. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Just take it easy. Man, you're back on Sunday night. Man, whew, man. I didn't even expect you to come, you know, Sunday morning, man. I mean, now you're here too. Man, I don't know. Just hang back there. You don't need to be every service. Man, you're giving that much to missions? I don't know if we can keep up with it all. Man, I'm waiting to hire some more angels to write down what you're giving. Man, it's hard to keep up with all that. God's not up there saying that. You can have all that you want of Christianity, or you can just have as little as you want of it. Your relationship with God, you want to know him? Are you interested? Do you have a desire? I believe that interest and that desire, man, it's got to be supernatural for one thing. That Bible says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Apostle Paul talks about another desire there. He said in the earlier chapters of Philippians, he said, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. He said, man, brother, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is they might be saved. Those desires are supernatural born. He didn't just have them because he was religious. He had them because he was born again. And those desires made him want to have more. I want to know more about my Lord. Why? Because I'm interested in him. I encourage, man, all young people, but everybody everywhere, man. I mean, get all you can in a Christian life. You know, some of the young people, they always say this, well, I just don't know where my life can go. How much do you want of God? How much do you want to know more about him? Are you good where you're at? Like I said, the older you get, the more tendency there is to coast. Tendency, just kind of say, oh, this is good. I don't do, at least I'm not like that bad anymore. And look at them folks over there, man. Look what they're doing. I ain't doing that. You know, I'm okay. Preacher, you don't need to preach like that because, man, we've been good. We come here this long. I've been a member of the Baptist Church for 30 years. I've been a deacon for this long. I've read this. And then people will tell you all the things they did. Apostle Paul said, I could glory in those things, but he said, I ain't. I still want to know him. If there's anybody that could have coasted and said, I'm good where I'm at, it would have been him. But he said, no, I want to know more. I want to get closer to all I can of him. James said it this way. He said, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. You take a step toward him, he's going to take a step towards you. Some areas of your life, you get closer, he'll get closer. But it's on you. I look at book of Luke chapter 24 for an example there. Luke chapter 24, them two men walking down. And the Bible says they're walking down there from Emmaus after the resurrection. Their eyes were beholding, they couldn't tell that was Jesus. And he was talking to them. He gives them the scripture. And the Bible says by the time they got to their destination, they're walking down that road there. By the time they got close to where their house was, the Bible says there it was getting dark. And then they looked at them and they said, hey, come stay with us. Abide with us, for it's toward evening. The Bible says they constrain him. There was something about him that they wanted more of. You know what I like in that verse? The Bible says he made as if he would went on. And he said, well, since y'all want me there, I'll come by. I'll come and hang out for a little while. My old preacher used to say it this way. He said this, God don't go nowhere he ain't welcome, and don't stay nowhere he ain't wanted. You know why a lot of people today, they got all of God they want? Because they're just like, I'm good. I don't want to be that way. I don't want to get to the point where I'm good. Because young people, when you grow up in church, you have that tendency. Oh, I've raised my church my whole life. Now I'm going to go do something else now. Now I got my life to live. Mom and dad took me all my life and I'm good now. I'm going to go do my own thing now. Now nothing wrong with doing your thing, finding the will of God for your life, your purpose. But don't neglect this part about getting to know him. Because that's a lifelong thing. How interested are you in him? You know, I like over there in the book of John, chapter 4, that woman, Samaritan woman, she introduced her town there to the Lord Jesus. And they came and heard him. And they said, now we believe because, man, not because of your word. He said, but we've heard him for ourselves. And the Bible says they told him to stay there. And you know what it says? He abode with them 2 more days. Man, I tell you what, the Lord just said, you know what? 2 days. All right, man, let's go. Let's have at this here. Man, that amazes me right there. The Lord said, we have needs to go through Samaria. The Lord said, we'll stay here a couple more days longer. Why? Because they want us here. I wonder how many times, man, the Lord would like to come by your life here. And I understand indwelling, presence of God. But I also understand this. A lot of times, man, he wants to come by your life and we just kind of like, oh, okay. And this, he just goes on by. I don't want that to be true. I want to know him. I want to get all I can out of this. I don't want man the normal, average Christian life. I want all I can. These old men of God that I sat under and listened to for many years, watched their lives, they lived their life and they talked about God, this be my dad included, that they talked about God in a way that I knew I did not know Him. They loved Him in a way that I didn't. They fellowshiped with Him in a way that I couldn't. Man, they had a relationship with God that I didn't know. But man, it put something in me saying, I want what they got. I don't know how they got it, but Lord, I want what they have, Lord. I want to love You like they did. Lord, I want to walk with You like they did. I want to pray like they did. Lord, I want that. Amen. Desire. There's interest. Are you interested in getting to know Him? I like how he says in verse 15, let us therefore be me as be perfect, be thus minded. He said, y'all ought to be this way. Y'all think this way. Think the way I'm thinking. I'm encouraging you tonight, man, to think the way Paul's thinking. Check your interest tonight, man. Are you interested? I think every one of you that's saved, there's a desire in there. And that desire is just kind of like a little spark every now and then. It's little embers. Man, you feed that spark. Hold on. Amen. I mean, you feed that spark, man, you hold on, because, man, you're fixing to find out a lot about the Christian life. People say, oh, God won't do nothing with me. That's what I thought. I grew up on an Indian reservation. If you ever drove through the Indian reservation, you ever drove through these mission fields, third world countries, and you see a lot of them, what I call, you know, out there, I call them that. Now, if you say it, it might not come out good, because let's just face it, y'all are white, amen, some of you, so. But since I ain't, I can say it this way. I go out there, it's a bunch of res kids. And I look at them little res kids. Look at them res kids. But I remember how I was at. You know what I thought? Ain't got nothing doing to me. Little did I know where I would end up all these years later. Man, no idea. I remember as a teenage boy, just a young teenager, I remember sitting there in front of the television watching the Olympics. You know how the Olympics used to be? Some of you remember that? Everybody was excited to watch the Olympics. America, America, man. We was patriotic. We was excited about that. There was no kneeling for the national anthem. We were proud, man. When we met, yeah, we won. We was excited when someone made, our nation got a gold medal. I remember watching the Winter Olympics there in Calgary. And I was just, and in my heart, as a kid, I said, man, I wish I could see Calgary. Many, many years later, after going down the road, I ended up preaching. I forgot about that. I remember preaching for a friend of mine, Brother Mark Harwood, up there in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. And I remember preaching a meeting there. And one of the first things, first time I went there, he said, what do you want to do here in town? I said, man, I don't know, just take me around. Let's see something. He said, what do you want to see? I said, I don't know, whatever. He said, I know where to take you. I said, where? He goes, just you'll see. We drove and drove, and we got close. And all of a sudden, he goes, look, Olympic Park. I just like, yeah, I laugh. But as soon as I saw it, I recognized it. As soon as I saw it, my mind went back to that kid sitting in front of the TV, and that man, that ski jump coming down the hill, and all that stuff. And it went back in my mind right there for a little moment. The Lord said, you remember saying that? You remember wanting that? I'm like, yeah. Where did that come from? I was interested in Him. There was a lot of other things competing for my interest. The military was, man, interested in me. There was college that was interested in me. There was other things, and I'm not saying those things are wrong, but those things were pulling and tugging at me. But I thank God, June 16, 1993, I said, Lord, from here on out, man, after a camp meeting preaching that night, I said, Lord, from here on out, I will do whatever you want me to do. Amen. Little did I know this is where it would take me. Little did I know, man, I have to leave the reservation, live in Alabama. Little did I know I'd get to see all the provinces of Canada. Little did I know I'd get to go overseas and preach the gospel. Just some kid from the reservation, some res kid. You know what was there? Interest. I want to know Him. Could God do this with somebody like me? What could He do with you? You want to get to know him? There's got to be introduction. There's got to be interest. Let's just do one more here. You want to get to know him? There's got to be involvement. What kind of involvement? Now, I'm probably going to misquote this because there's a part of this verse I always misquote, and I don't want to. I'm going to read it to you. It's in Matthew chapter 11. Sometimes you get so excited and you start quoting a verse, you misleave out parts. Matthew 11, verse 28. It says there in 28, 29, 30. Come unto me, all ye labored and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You want to get to know him? You got to be involved what he was involved in. I grew up on an Indian reservation, yes, but my grandfather, although being 100% Navajo, Native American, he would be what you would call a cowboy. He had his work boots and his town boots. Amen? His town boots only came out when he was going to town. Had his, man, his work clothes and his town clothes. And my grandfather every day, man, saddled a horse, rode a horse, herded sheep, raised cattle. We had horses that we broke. I mean, my grandfather also, man, he had farmed. He also farmed before they had farming equipment out there in the reservation. Our area knew my grandfather for helping plow fields and help tear down, cut clear land and set up fields for people and help. He was known for a lot of that. My dad take me over there in the summers and let me learn from my grandpa. I remember one day we was in the barn there. And while I was in the barn, I was looking on the wall. You know, this is before Cracker Barrel ever had the idea. All the instruments and implements are hanging on the wall in there. And Cracker Barrel used to be good. Anyway, all that stuff right there. And I was just looking there. I'm just like, Grandpa, what is that? He said, that's for my team. I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, well, he said, that's how we used to clear off the field. I said, okay. You know, grandfather was very deliberate, stoic, and didn't waste words. So if he didn't tell me more, I had to wait. There's still a few things I'm waiting on answer to right now. Amen. Probably when he'll get there, I'll see him. I said, all right, now you didn't answer this part. What was that? But that one that day was, he said, all right. He said, that's my instrument for plowing. He said, you take it off. And he said, I used to put the mule on this side. And on this side, he said, I put a horse. I said, okay. And he said, here, I'd hook it up back here. And he said, I'd have my drags and my plows back here. What I was describing to you is a yoke. And he said, the mule knew what to do. He said, the horse always didn't know. The horse kind of had to, a lot of times the horse was used to being ridden, put his saddle on, man, and get out there and ride. He said, the horse was used to that, but the horse was not used to pulling. It could carry a load on its back, but it wasn't used to pulling. You know that old word horsepower? How the old miners used to have stuff down in the mine and they strap up a pulley system and use a horse to pull out loads from the mine. If it took one horse, it was one horsepower. If it took another horse, it was two horsepower, three horsepower. Hence, use the word horsepower because the horse pulling. A horse could carry, but also a horse had to learn how to pull. The mule knew what to do, but the horse always didn't know what to do. So my grandfather said, you put them two together. He said, a lot of times they would fight against it. But he said, that mule would just stand there and wait. He said, man, the horse didn't like it. He said, we get it on there. He said, once we get it on there, and then the horse would have a hard time. A lot of times, man, the mule would be pulling the horse too along at the same time. He said, after a while, day in, day out, they finally learned. They learned that, you know what? Hey, this goes easier if I work with the mule. And they would work. He said, man, we'd pull stuff. He said, we'd pull tree stumps. We pull rocks. We plow furrows in the land. He said, that's the yoke. That always stuck with me. When I read this, you know what the Lord said? He said, you want to get to know me? Learn of me? He said, get in the yoke with me. You got to learn to put yourself in there with the Lord. Until you submit to it, you learn it's a lot easier when you don't fight against Him. Why is this Christian life so tough? Well, the reason why, you might be just fighting against God. Submission is a big key. The Bible says, submit yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. You got to learn to bring yourself under God's authority. God ordained authority and said, Lord, all right, I'll do what you want. And when you pull with Him, oh, it's a whole lot easier. There are a lot of folks that still have a hard time with the yoke that they're in. And let me just throw this out there while I'm on it. Husband and wife, it's a lot easier when you're in it together. Amen. When you got a wife, man, and when you got a husband, man, you working together. I mean, life is a whole lot better. It's a very hard thing. You're not gonna get away from hardship, troubles, trials, temptations, but they're a whole lot easier to deal with when you're in together. My wife, she's not here. I thank the Lord for my wife. And she's not here with me tonight, but man, there's a lot of things that she does for me that, man, this helps me a whole lot. But then there's a lot of things I really don't know. I just beat myself a lot of times, you know, and she'll say, man, you just helped me a whole lot. I said, well, praise the Lord. I try to do what I can to be a blessing to her and to lead her. Amen. Try to show her how, man, to serve God, because, man, there's some things she had to learn. She didn't grow up in a Christian home. She didn't have all the influence that I did. And I tried to show her, man, and you know what, man, I'll tell you what, she has been a blessing to me. I mean, we've become just a good team for the Lord. I enjoy her. She's sending texts today, so I'm praying for you tonight. She said, I'll probably tune in later. I said, no, don't do that. Yeah, no, don't do that. But you know, you got to get in the yoke with the Lord. Being in the yoke with the Lord, Brother Earl Hughes used to say this. He'd say, one thing about being in the yoke, brethren, he'd jump up and down, clap his hand. He said, every now and then, you get to bump into the Lord. The Lord bumps into you. I said, man, that's that country wit and wisdom. I'm thinking, yeah. Amen. I mean, every now and then, what happens? I bump into Him. Getting in this yoke with the Lord every now and then. Well, bumming, He bumps into me. Man, I tell you, we have a time. That's why I want to get to know Him. I'll get in His yoke, submit to what He wants for my life. Get closer to Him. Say, Lord, Lord, there's some areas of my life that I want to get to know You in. And man, I found it out in serving Him, doing things for the Lord, submitting to things of my life that comes my way. People today still fight against their lot in life. They fight against, men, what's going on in their home and in their personal lives. A lot of times, they don't need to fight against it. You come to the Lord. Say, Lord, I'm coming to You because I ain't got a clue about this thing. You young people, the best thing you could ever do is get in a yoke with the Lord at a young age. That's why Lamentation said it that way. He said, it's good for a man, young man to bear the yoke in his youth. It's good to learn now. And get in there, man, and get with the Lord. Get to know Him. Get around people that know Him. Amen. Are you in the yoke with the Lord tonight? Or you just don't want the yoke? How's your interest tonight? You still interested in Him? You still want to get to know Him more? Have you been introduced to Him? Could you point to a place and said, right there is where I met the Lord? If not, man, this would be a good place right here. Amen. Let's bow our heads tonight. I'm have your pastor come and give us an invitation here. Dear Lord in heaven, I come tonight, Lord, just preaching, Lord God, what You've laid in my heart. And I trust and hope, Lord God, it's a help to Your people. God, I pray tonight for some folks here, Lord, that, Lord, there's some people I believe here tonight have a desire to get to know You. And Lord, tonight I pray, Lord God, I've said enough, Lord God, and it would help them to draw closer to you, Father. Maybe there's some tonight their interest, Lord God, is not what it used to be. Lord, help them, Lord God, to, Lord God, put that back in their heart. Help them to make those steps to get back to where they need to be, closer to you, Father. And tonight, Lord, there could be some tonight, Lord, they just need to get in the yoke with you, Father. Lord, they need to get, Lord, submit it to you, Father, and say, Lord, I want to do what you want me to do. Not just, Lord God, in the main part of life, but, Lord, every aspect of their life. Lord, they would follow you. And, Lord God, and then you would, Lord, just draw close to them, Father, and they'd learn of you, Lord. Bless this time here, Lord. There's someone here who don't know you as their Savior. I pray during this time they'd have enough, Lord, of courage and guts, Lord, to maybe walk out here and say, I need to get to know the Lord. I want to be saved tonight. Bless them, Lord God. We pray in Jesus' name.